Well, welcome this morning. We are really glad that you're here. It's good to see everybody. Happy Easter. You know, those words, He is risen. He is risen. And I was reading this morning. I decided to, I always try to read through the Bible kind of not chronologically, but in order through the different Gospels and everything, and I sort of forced myself to get to Easter Sunday this morning in Mark, and I read the words that it starts off with, which it says that the woman comes to the tomb, Mary comes to the tomb, and she sees the angel in the tomb, and she says, "You're looking for Jesus, but He's not here. He's risen." And it's my prayer this morning that I don't know where we're at today, where everybody has come from today, and where you are in your hearts today with it. But it's my prayer that wherever you are, you would find Jesus today. That you would find Him in your hearts and lives. He might not even be in the place that you always expect. But that phrase, He is risen, it's the essential element of our faith. It's the essential truth in Christianity. It's the center of all that we understand about who Christ is and what He did for us, the fact that He died and is risen for us. Last week I talked to you about the centrality of Jesus, how when God created the universe, He created it with Himself at the center. And the universe works as long as God is at the center. But when sin entered the world, we put ourselves into the center. And it throws everything out of whack. It throws everything into chaos. And our lives become chaos when we have anything that's at the center of ourselves except for Jesus. Jesus is the center of our hearts, and He has to stay there as the center of our hearts, or else our world has chaos. But at the core of who Jesus is, at the core of this truth, are those words, He is risen. You know, we don't serve a God who's dead. We don't serve a God who's made of wood or stone. We don't serve idols that are made by human hands that have no life of their own. We don't serve a God who is far off in some unattainable place. We serve a God who lived and walked among us. We serve a God who humbled Himself to come to earth, to be here for us. We serve a God who was betrayed and who was killed. But most amazing of all, we serve a God who was resurrected on the third day. We serve a God who is alive. The risen Savior, Jesus Christ, who now sits at the right hand of the Father, sent the Holy Spirit to live and dwell in our hearts and our lives, that we may know the depth of the Father's love, that we may know the depth of His peace that passes all understanding, that we may know real encouragement, and we may know the truth, and that the truth can set us free from wherever we are in our lives. So hallelujah, Christ is risen. Before we go on, why don't we just pray together? God, may Your truth sink into our hearts and lives today. Though I pray that You would guard my words and let me speak the truth that You have today, Lord. And I pray that our ears and our hearts and our minds would be open to what You're doing this morning. Lord, we give this time to You as an offering. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to start today by going back a little bit. Back a little bit before Christ is risen. I want to go back so that we can see the significance of the sacrifice that Jesus made. I want to go back to the final words of Christ on the cross. If you have your Bibles this morning and you want to turn with me, we're going to have a few different scriptures this morning. If you're like me, you already bookmarked them with orange bookmarks. It makes it much easier if you know that ahead of time. But if you turn back with me to John 19. John 19, starting in verse 28. This is after Jesus has been betrayed. He's been handed over to the Jewish leaders. He's been tried before Pilate, and He's been sentenced to crucifixion. And as He's on the cross, Jesus now in His mind recognizes that everything is completed. And that's where we start. In verse 28, it says that Jesus knew that everything was now complete. And so to fulfill the scriptures, he said, I'm thirsty. And so a jar of sour wine or vinegar, some translations say, was sitting there. And they soaked a sponge in it, and they put it on a hyssop branch, and they held it up to his lips. When Jesus had tasted it, he said these words, It is finished. Then he bowed his head, and he gave up his spirit. As many of you know, my ongoing career that I enjoy so much is I enjoy teaching. I love teaching, and I specifically I teach music. I teach piano lessons to children and adults, but mostly to children. And I've noticed recently, I don't know why this, it seems to come in cycles, but I've noticed a lot of my students that when they're performing a piece, when they're playing it, if they have a little mistake, if they have a little problem, they sort of just stop in the middle of the song and pause, and then they'll continue on to the next thing, and they'll play for a little bit, and they'll pause again, and they'll go through the piece. And I try to explain to them that when you're, see, it's the downside of playing piano, you're always by yourself. And I try to explain to them that if you were to be in an orchestra, or in a band, or even playing with another person, and you tried to do this, you're basically adding time to the end of the piece. That the conductor, you know, is conducting the orchestra, and there's a set amount of time that things happen. And he conducts and he keeps the time. And at the end of the piece, he gives the cutoff. The cutoff is that final cadence, the end of that piece. But if you add all that little extra time into the piece, you're really kind of playing past the cutoff. You're still just going and going. Imagine just sitting there and the orchestra is stopped and you're just continuing to play. You see, that moment when the conductor cuts off, that's an important moment. It's an important moment in the orchestra. It's an important moment for performers and musicians because it signifies three things. One, it says that the piece is over, that piece has ended, that maybe that movement, that work has ended. Second, it tells the performers that a rest is getting ready to follow. They're getting ready to take an anticipatory break. In other words, they're going to take a pause, but it's not finished yet completely. There's more to come. It also tells them that they're going to be waiting for the conductor's next move, waiting for the next piece to begin. Jesus' death on that cross is the cutoff. Jesus' death signified the end, the conclusion of God's miraculous rescue plan. A plan to save people from themselves, to save them from sin, to save them from a life that's given over to death, a life of chaos. His cutoff was the conclusion to say the old way is gone, the new way is begun, now with Jesus at the center of our lives. He wanted to save them from an eternity of separation from them. In Jesus' words, it is finished. Declare that he has conquered, that he's overcome even death. And it's our cue that the old way is finished. And as Jesus entered his time of rest for 3 days, and then he is risen, and a new way begins, a new reality. If you'll look to our second verse this morning, you'll see in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says a very familiar passage. It says, if anyone is in Christ, he is what? A new creation. The old ways have passed away. Behold, the new life has begun. If anyone is in Christ, he is new. The old has passed away. And now the new way has come. But what is the old way? What was the old way of life that it talks about? If you look back just a couple of verses in the same scripture, if you look back to verse 14, about halfway through it, it says these words, since we believe that Christ died for everyone, we also believe that that we have died to the old life we used to live. And then he goes on to explain what that looks like. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live to please themselves. Instead, they'll live to please Christ, who died and was raised for them. So we've stopped evaluating others by what the world thinks about them. What it means is that those who become Christians are now new creations. The old has passed away, and the new has come. See, the old way, up to that point, the way that you did right in your life, the way that everything worked, is if you followed the law. If you lived things the best you could and you did everything according to the law, keeping the law, but doing your best. But now with Jesus, everything changes. With Jesus' death on the cross, with Jesus' resurrection, Jesus now becomes the center. He becomes the centrality of everything we do. Now it's not about what we do anymore. It's about what He did. It's not about us anymore. It's not about what it says here, where we live to please ourselves. It's about living to please Him. See, the old way was all about what we could do. And it'll never be enough. We can never live up to God's standard. That's why Jesus came. Because the new way is about what He did. It's about what He could do, and all of our faith, all of our trust, all of our hope is in that central truth that Jesus died once for all mankind. So when Jesus died, the old life, sin, death, living for ourselves, living to try to do the law, to try to be as best as we could, to try to be good, to try to hope that goodness will save us, to try to do everything we can, passed away. With Jesus' death on the cross, all of the old way passed away. The new life is ushered in. If you know Jesus, if you're a believer, a Christian, if you would call yourself born again, whatever phrase you would use to describe that, if you have given your life to Christ and know Him as your personal Savior, then you know what happens next. The conductor of the universe, the God who ushered in all of the planets, who set everything in the world into motion, who conducts the moon and the stars and knows every hair on your head and knows everything about us and conducts our lives, the conductor of the universe just gave, with Jesus' death on the cross, the final cutoff. And now we enter into Jesus' rest. We enter into His new life, and we understand this is not a rest from everything. We understand this is not the end of trying, the end of work, or anything like that. Rather, this is a rest that's very much like the musicians who wait in anticipation for what God is going to call them next to do. They wait for the conductor's next cue to say, now. There's a rest in anticipation. We also understand that our full rest, when we come into our completeness, is going to be in heaven. That right now, the Apostle Paul teaches us that right now we see things in shadow. We see a reflection, like in a mirror. We don't see things fully, but one day we will. One day we will see things fully. We will know things fully, even we as we are fully known. And we will know true, full, complete rest in Christ Jesus. Now, we know it in our spirit. We know it in our hearts. And it's that peace, it's that understanding that passes through us, that infiltrates our whole life and is meant to guide us, meant to infiltrate everything we do, that's underlying with God's rest. The peace that we know that He's risen, that we know we are secure in Him, that He is greater, that He has overcome. And that nothing we do will ever be as important as knowing that He did these things and believing that He did them and trusting in Him that He did them. Nothing we can ever do will ever match up to that. We can't earn it. We can't work harder to get it. We can't be better to do it. We can't believe more things to make sure it works. We can't know more scripture. We can't be... None of that will ever compare to that truth. Knowing who Christ is, that He died for us, that He was raised again. If you don't know Christ, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, then that rest is probably a mystery, an illusion. That peace that passes all understanding may be elusive. You see, until we know Jesus, we still continue to strive past the cutoff. We're still those students that take the pause, that every time a little mistake happens, it pauses and they add on, and they simply, it completely takes away from the flow that life is supposed to have, from the dance and the movement that we're supposed to have in Christ. When Christ gave the cutoff, that's the end. But if you don't know Christ, you just keep striving. You can't help it. You don't have anything else. That's all we have, is to keep working harder, doing better, trying to be a better person, trying all of these things to keep striving past the point of when Jesus said, "It is finished." The Bible speaks. He speaks about this rest. It speaks about this rest both in our current reality and in our future home in heaven. The third place I'm going to ask you to turn with me today is in Hebrews chapter 3, beginning in verse 7. This is a quote from Psalms, from Psalm 95. The writer of Hebrews quotes and says, "Today, if you hear His voice, don't harden your hearts against Him, as Israel did when they were rebelled, when they tested the patience of God in the wilderness. There they tried My patience, even though they saw My miracles, even though they saw it with their own eyes for 40 years. And so I became angry. Their hearts always turned away from Me. They refused to do what I told them. So I made a vow that they would not enter Israel, which was the place of rest." For 40 years, the Israelites wandered in the desert. For 40 years, God showed them again and again the centrality of Him in their lives. He showed them how much they needed to rely on Him. He gave them, He walked every day, they could see His presence. Every day they could experience Him, and yet their hearts were hard and unbelieving. And He said, "This generation will not enter My rest." And so the writer of Hebrews gives this warning. He says, "Be careful, brothers and sisters, to make sure," this is in verse 12, "that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning away from the living God. Instead, you need to encourage, exhort one another every day, for as long as it's called today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. Today, if you hear His voice, don't harden your hearts against Him as Israel did when they rebelled." If we move to chapter 4, we get to hear the good news. The good news is that God's promise of entering His rest still stands today. For this good news, that God has prepared a place of rest, has been announced to us just as it was to the Israelites. But it did them no good because they didn't believe. For only those who believe can enter His place of rest. In verse 6, it says that God's rest is there for people to enter. "But none who formerly heard it, but those who formerly heard it failed to enter because they disobeyed God." So God had a plan. God made a way. God had an amazing, miraculous rescue plan. He set aside another time for entering His place of rest. He called that time today. God announced this through David long ago in the scripture that we've already been quoting today. If you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts against him. See, God long ago made a way, another way. What is this way? What is the rescue plan? Who was it? What did God do? We find out in John 3:16, that most quoted of most, maybe all Bible verses, because God so loved the world, and I want you to replace the world with me. For God so loved me, not me, you as well. For God so loved me, that he gave his only son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have what? Everlasting life, eternal peace, eternal hope in Christ Jesus. That when he died on the cross, Christ made a way. Christ created a bridge between God and man, a way for us to enter into his special place of rest, a new life in Christ. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, no, verse 3, it says, God our Savior wants everyone to be saved and to understand this truth. But there is only one God, and there's only one mediator between God and man. He is the man, Jesus Christ, who gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. This is the message that God gave to the world at the proper time. And what is that proper time? We just read about it in Hebrews. Today is the day. The proper time is today. You see, Christ died once for all. But he also died once forever. Forever for the whole world. Forever for all time. He died. The cutoff happened. You enter into his rest with a new life. See, he didn't just die. It wasn't just at the perfect time. So it's not this thing that you can miss. That you say, oh, I had that chance. I blew it. Now I have no other chance. No. The writer of Hebrews makes it very clear, encourage one another every day as long as it's called what? Today. We might say, but I missed my chance today. Tomorrow? Guess what tomorrow is going to be? It'll be today when you get there. Every day is today when you get there. Every day is that opportunity. That's why we never cease to expound this to people, why we don't quit sharing the good news, because it might be their day. For them, it might be today. We never know. For you, it might be today. We don't ever know where people are, but it might be today for them. So it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. God loves you. And he has a life chosen for you, a place of rest, if you'll just accept that. Today, if you hear his voice, don't remain in your old ways. Don't remain in your old life. Do not be conformed to this world, but instead be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Instead, enter into a new life, a life with Jesus at the center, a life where everything works, a life where everything moves in peace. That until you know God, you won't understand peace that passes all understanding. When God gave the cutoff, the old way passed away. The new life began. And in just a minute, we're going to have an opportunity for anyone who wishes to exchange that old life for the new life in Christ. The scriptures say that the gift of God is eternal life, and we understand that it's a gift. It cost us nothing, It'll cost you nothing except your old life. But I also want to talk to another group of people here today as well. Because I really believe that there are some here today, people that are assured of their salvation, people who know that they are believers, who know they're following God, know Jesus as their personal Savior, but are still striving, still working and trying past that cutoff, past the point where Jesus said to enter our rest. The people that are tired, maybe you're worn out, maybe you feel really heavy burdened, feel like you just can't go on this way. It might even be people that are serving in ministry. Might be people doing great things, wonderful things that help others, but are exhausted, worn out, feel like they don't have anything left to go on. You know it's not supposed to be that way? You know, serving in God's kingdom, doing God's will is not supposed to be like that. This is my last scripture, I promise. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus says these words, and He says it to His followers, and He says it to all the non-believers, everyone who's around Him and listen. He gives this invitation. He says, "Come. Come to Me, all who are weary. Come to Me, all that carry heavy burdens, who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He calls them to take His yoke. He says, "Take My yoke upon you. Let Me teach you, because I'm humble and I'm gentle. And in Me, you will find rest for your weary souls. For My yoke fits perfectly. The burden I give you is light." You see, when they used to hitch up one oxen, they would take a mature, old oxen that knew what he was doing, that was strong and secure, and they would hitch up a young oxen on the same yoke next to him, so that when the older oxen would pull most of the load, would do most of the work, and was used to doing most of the work by himself, but the young oxen would be hitched alongside so that it would be taught and understood how to move. The oxen didn't have to do much of anything except to just follow along with the other one, to just walk alongside. And that's what Jesus is promising today. That the yoke is easy. That the burden is light. And you'll notice that Jesus doesn't always promise. He doesn't always promise that this will be easy going. He doesn't always promise that a field will be easy to plow. If I told you that, I wouldn't really be honest with you. Sometimes it'll be hard. But we're not meant to operate in this out of our own strength. We're not meant to operate in this out of our own will, out of our own reserves, out of all of that. We're meant to operate out of what? His strength. Because He's the one that gives us a light burden and a light yoke. He tells us to cast our cares upon Him because He cares for us. If that's you, carrying on past the point of the rest, Jesus wants you to enter His rest today too. To re-examine. Say, "Lord, I just put all of that burden, all the stuff I've been weighing on myself at Your feet, God. Turn it over to You and say, God, You take control. God, You take over." His death and resurrection was all about conquering death. All about overcoming the weariness of our old life of striving, trying to work toward things. He died and was resurrected so that we could die to our old ways, to our old life, and enter into His new life, to know His rest, to know His peace. Maybe you're here today and you're striving, trying to earn your way into heaven. Believe in God, know that there's a heaven, but are trying to earn your way there. Good deeds, hard work, it'll never be enough. It can't ever be enough. There's only one way to God, and that's through the person Christ Jesus. Through His death and His resurrection. Because just as God raised Him from the dead, so we have the opportunity to be raised to life. To die to our old ways and live a new life in Jesus. So if you're here today, and you hear His voice, I want to invite the musicians to come back, and Cascade and Karen, and let me just ask, if maybe Nancy and Alan, could you guys kind of stand on the side and just be available to pray for people? Because I want to offer a time that if you're here today and you hear His voice, if you're here today, don't harden your hearts. If you're here today and you've given your life to Christ, maybe you've never given your life to Christ. Maybe you don't really know what all of this is about. But you hear His voice. You feel His prompting. If that's you, then today is the day. Not tomorrow, not later, but today. Maybe you would count yourself in that place of weariness, just worn out. God wants you to know His peace and His rest. He wants you to cast all those burdens on Him, to get rid of all of those who are heavy laden, who don't know His rest. He wants you to just cast that away, to let the lightness of Christ live in your heart. And maybe you're one of the ones who's here that's just striving, trying to earn your way into heaven. Can I tell you that that is not why Jesus died? It's a free gift that you cannot earn, and nothing you can ever do will be enough. It's about what He did. Holy Spirit, I pray that You would work now in our hearts and in our lives. Reach us in honesty and in truth. Lord, thank You for Your sacrifice, for Your grace, and for Your love. Thank You for Your life, God, that you died so that we could live. We celebrate You, Father. We celebrate You. We give You all glory. Would You work in our hearts, God? We love You.